Okay.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 This is Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 81, text 16.
Kvaham
Kavidra
Kapiyan
Kva
Krishna
Krishna
Piniketanaha
Piniketanaha
Brahmabandhur
Brahmabandhur
Iti
Smaham
Smaham Bahubhyam
Bahubhyam
Paribrambitaha
Paribrambitaha
Dharidra Papiyan
Aham Dharidra Papiyan
Sva Krishna Sri Niketanaha
Sva Krishna Sri Niketanaha
Brahma Bandhur Iti Smaham
Brahma Bandhur Iti Smaham
Bahubhyam Paribrambitaha
Bahubhyam Paribrambitaha
Aham Dharidra Papiyan
Aham Dharidra Papiyan
Sva Krishna Niketanaha
Va Krishna Sri Niketanaha
Brahma Bandhur Iti Smaham
Brahma Bandhur Iti Smaham
Bahubhyam Parirambitaha
Bahubhyam Parirambitaha
Va
Aham
Aham
I
Daridraha
Daridraha
Poor
Papiyan
Papiyan
Sinful
Who is
Krishna
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 Krishna The Supreme Personality of Godhead
The Supreme Personality of Godhead
Sri Niketanaha
Sri Niketanaha
The Transcendental Form of All Opulence
The Transcendental Form of All Opulence
Brahma Bandhu
Brahma Bandhu
The Friend of a Brahman
The Friend of a Brahman
Not fit even to be called a Brahman
Not fit even to be called a Brahman
Iti
Iti
Thus
Sma
Sma
Certainly
Aham
Aham
I
Bahubhyam
Bahubhyam By the arms.
By the arms.
Parirambitaha.
Parirambitaha.
Embrace. Who am I? A sinful, poor friend of a Brahman. And who is Krishna? The Supreme Personality of Godhead, full of six opulences. Nonetheless, he has embraced me with his two arms. Om Jagatiran Kasya Karam Jana Shalakaya Shashu Pranitam Vena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tathati Shapanantikam Manadeham Shri Gurave Shri Jatha Patakamanam, Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsa, Shri Bhukam Shadrashatam, Sahagana Raghunatham, Vikam Tham Sivivam, Sadvaitam Svabhutam, Krishna Sivitam, Sashyaketam Nadevam, Shri Radha Krishnadana, Sahagana Narita, Shri Vishakhan Vitamstra, E Krishna Karna Sindho, E Pandho Jagat Pate, Rokesha Rokika Kanta, Atha Kanta Mosite, Tata Kanta Gorangi, Vahe Rinda Vishri, Vishakhan Sudeve, Pranami Mahi Priye, Manchato Tiru Krishna, Sivasi Bodhe Krishna, Adhyana Mahayevyo, Oshadevyo Namo Namaha, Shri Krishna Chaitanya,
Adonikanda, Shri Adwaita Mohadhar, Shri Vasadi Mahatma, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Kaham Dharidra Papi Yam, Krishna, Shri Niketa, Ramabandhur is Maham, Bahu Yam Harishandhya. This verse is spoken by Sudama Vitra on his returning from his visit to meet Lord Sri Krishna in Dwarka. The history is well known. Krishna and Sudama were childhood friends in the Gurukul of Shantipani. And later, after Sudama married and Krishna also became a great king, Sudama was living in great poverty, and so his wife was pushing him. Why don't you go see your friend Krishna? Why don't you go see your friend Krishna? Why don't you go see your friend Krishna? Why don't you go? Why don't you go? So she was thinking, actually, that her husband was practically starving. She was concerned for his welfare. And Sudama, on his part, wasn't interested in tapping Krishna for some favor. Generally, if we know someone big, then we keep that card in our pocket in case of need. We can contact this person, he'll do this for me. Contact that person, he'll do that for me. And Sudama had the Krishna card in his pocket, but he wasn't interested in approaching Krishna for any material gain. But finally he thought, well, if I go there, then I'll get to meet him. I haven't seen Krishna in so long. So, okay, good. So he got from his wife a little offering of chipped rice, and which he had to beg up from the neighbors. And he went off to see Krishna. And Krishna received him so grandly that he sat Sudama on his own bed and was washing his feet and embracing him, and Rukmini Devi, his principal queen, was fanning Sudama. So he received such respectful and affectionate treatment that it was overwhelming. And of course, while he was there, they discussed their old experiences at the Gurukul, and Krishna was recalling the time when they were stuck in the forest during a rainstorm. They'd gone to gather firewood for their guru, and a big storm had come up, and so the boys were overnight shivering in the forest. And then the guru came and found them and was so pleased that you boys have undergone so much trouble for me. He gave his blessings. So they were recalling all of these such incidents. And then Krishna said, I think you brought something for me. You must have brought something. I think you must have brought something for me. You brought something for me. Sudama was reluctant that this rice is so paltry and third class rice, how can I give this to Krishna? But Krishna was snatching it. And he took a little morsel. He said, this rice is so wonderful, it can satisfy the whole universe. And he was going to take some more, but Rukmini Devi stopped him. That already by this one portion, I'm so indebted. If you take more, how will we compensate them? So Sudama spent that night in the wonderful atmosphere of Dwarka. And the next day he set out for home. And he didn't ask Krishna for anything, although his mission officially was to go to Dwarka and ask Krishna to help him out in his poverty. He didn't ask. He achieved his mission. He got Krishna's darshan, but somehow his wife's request got put to the side. Very unusual, by the way, for husband to put his wife's request to the side, but he did it. And then he was returning, and the whole time he was just absorbed in thinking of Krishna. Because naturally, as a devotee, it was his nature to think of Krishna. Okay, we've got a different unruly gang in the back. That one particular child, whoever it is, this legend might have sense. Krishna's wonderful, and he'd had such a wonderful experience in Dwarka, and he's remembering that. And at the same time, he's thinking that Krishna knew that if I got material opulence, I would be finished. I would get puffed up. I would forget my spiritual nature, forget everything. So he's deliberately, by his mercy, he's keeping me poor. So this is very good, not giving me even a little opulence. So he's thinking like that, and then he's speaking this verse, that Praham Dharidrapat. Aham Dharidra Papiyan, Kra Krishna Srinikata. Who am I?
He's comparing. Praham, who am I? And then he answers his own question.
Dharidra Papiyan, I'm just a poor man and sinful. Because to be poor is a result of past sinful activities. To be rich is the result of past pious activities. Shanmai Sharya Shruta Shridir. If someone is born in an aristocratic family, if someone is opulent, if someone is beautiful, someone's well educated, these are all the results of past pious activities. And
is that an offer?
And if someone is poor, someone is ugly, someone is lacking education, bad health, O family. These are all results of sinful activities. Of course, this pious and sinful is all rubbish. Kaviraj Gurchan says, Vaitai Padra Padra Dhyan E Manutha E Balo E Manda E Sattva. Rich and poor, so I'm a rich prisoner, or I'm a good-looking prisoner, or I'm a well-connected prisoner, or a highly educated prisoner. But finally, I'm a prisoner. So what does it mean to be a high-class prisoner? Whether I'm in the higher planets or the lower planets, still I'm subject to birth and death. Still I'm subject to old age and disease. Still I'm conditioned by the modes of material nature. But I'm proud that I'm Indra, or I'm proud that I'm the CEO, or I'm proud that I'm the chief garbage collector, or I'm proud of something. But Sudama Vipra, although he's a Brahmin, and Brahmin is at the top of the social ladder, he's very humble, and he's thinking that, who am I? I'm Daridra, I'm poor, and Papiya, sinful. And
Brahmabandhur,
iti. And I'm not actually a Brahmin, I'm Brahmabandhu. Brahmabandhu means so-called Brahmin. A Brahmin without the qualifications of a Brahmin. A friend of a Brahmin. Just like if you said that I was the friend of a scholar. It means I'm not a scholar. But I move in those circles. But I'm not qualified. Brahmabandhu. Brahma, just like sometimes we, in modern age, there's so many Brahmanas, there's the Shukras and the Trivedis and the Chaturvedis, but they're near Vedis, they don't know anything of Vedic knowledge. Only the name is there, not the knowledge, not the behavior. Guna Karma is absent, only the name. And he's puffed up thinking, I'm a Brahmin. But so Sudama's thinking that Brahmabandhu, I'm a friend of a Brahmin, I'm poor, I'm sinful, that's who I am. And Kwa Krishna, who is Krishna? Shriniketana, the resting place of the abode of the goddess of fortune. That means all opulences belong to Krishna. Shriniketana. People are seeking after fortune, but fortune comes and goes. Chanchala, another name of Sri goddess of fortune, is Chanchala. So she's with you, and then she's not. But the goddess of fortune is always with Krishna. He's full in all six opulences. So,
Sri Krishna, Kwa Krishna, Sri Niketana. And yet, Babu Bhyam, Pariram.
And yet, he embraced me with his arms. How wonderful it is. How amazing. Like Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has been so affectionate to this poor, unqualified life. And Sudama Vipra thinks that it's because Krishna is Brahmanyadeva, because he's especially inclined to the Brahmins, Namo Brahmanya Devaya. But it's particularly for Sudama because of his pure love for Krishna. Yayatamam Kapadyante, Mr. Tayavatam. Krishna is, devotional service is not just a mechanical process. There are some mechanics to be followed, there are some rules and regulations, there's discipline, there are so many things to be observed. But finally, in the perfect stage, this devotional service means that there is spontaneous love for Krishna. There's spontaneous love for Krishna. And spontaneous love for Krishna means that there's also spontaneous love from Krishna. As the devotee loves Krishna without any material consideration, not because he's powerful or he's rich or he could give me this or protect me from that or bless me with this, but just because he's Krishna, because Krishna's so wonderful, because the devotee feels inspired by the transcendental qualities of his Lord, that there's this reciprocation. Finally, devotional service means two things, devotion and service. It's not just sentiment. Oh, Krishna. And it's not just service that we just do a certain kind of work. But it's both things together. There's practical activity for the service of the Lord, and it's done with a spirit of devotion and love. Pratram Pushpam Palam Toyam Nomi Bhaktyasmiya Kriti Tadaham Bhakti Padatam Ashnami Prayatatamaha. Krishna will accept even the most humble offering, even fruit, flour, water, pratram lalit, or a little chip rice. Bhaktya, when it's offered with love and devotion. Otherwise, he doesn't accept anything from anybody. He's Sriniketa. Sriniketa means, what will you offer? What will I offer? But, Ye Vijanti Tumam Bhaktya Mayite Teshu Bhaktya. When someone is fully engaged in pure devotional service to Krishna, Krishna says, he's in me and I'm in him. That means there's such a wonderful, intimate, devotional relationship between the Lord and his devotees. We can't jump into that perfect relationship, but we can appreciate these perfect relationships. And we can follow the process of devotional service so that one day, by Krishna's mercy, we can also hope to come to that platform and be eternally associated with the Lord in spontaneous loving service. Hare Krishna. Are there some questions? Yes.
I have a question. If someone is doing Mangal Arati every day, but someone has a night shift and he comes early morning and does the Mangal Arati around 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock in the morning, is it okay?
Someone's doing Mangal Arati every day, but he works the night shift.
Sometimes. Twice in a week.
And so then the schedule gets changed? Is that okay? Yes, it's okay. Because in the temples, the worship is very exact. It must be done on this schedule. It must be done with this paraphernalia. It must be done by these people, this way, these mantras, everything very exact. Just like in a king's palace, everything has to be done exactly. But Krishna is a little adaptable. He appears in a deity form to bless the devotee. And in householder life, we don't have the same facility as in the big temple of Vidura. And so we sometimes have to adjust according to our circumstances. That doesn't mean that we should take it very lightly, that, well, today's Tuesday and I want to do this, and Krishna can wait, and, well, today's Thursday, and then everything's... Then we become negligent, and it means me first, Krishna second, or third, or depending how many family members I have, it becomes less. Then that becomes offensive. But if we need to adjust, then, my dear Lord, don't mind, but I have to work and come back.
Loudly.
Why did Sudama suffer a lot as he was a devotee?
Why did Sudama suffer a lot?
Yes, as he was.
First thing is that in this he was in this material world. In this material world, everyone suffers a lot. He was poor, so he was suffering from poverty. The rich man suffers from wealth. Krishna certifies that this material world is a place of suffering. But from the highest to the lowest, every planet in the universe is a place of suffering. That's one reason. Another reason is that this is also what Sudama wanted. There are different... It's described by the acharyas in regard to this pastime. There are two different kinds of devotees, or two different attitudes toward wealth among the pure devotees. Some devotees are indifferent to wealth. It just doesn't matter to them. They don't care about it. It comes, it doesn't come. It's just not an issue. Indifferent to wealth. And another kind of devotee is actually averse to wealth. He doesn't want anything to do with it. And the acharyas say that this was Sudama Vipra's mood. He really didn't want wealth. Considered it a burden, an entanglement, a source of bondage. He was averse to wealth. So Krishna respected his mood. All right, he doesn't want wealth. He's averse to it. I won't force it on him. But then finally at the end, Krishna thought that Sudama is a perfect devotee. He only has one little fault, that he's a little proud of being averse to wealth. So then Krishna smashed that big time. Is that okay?
Sudama had a mood of humility.
How can
we develop that?
But that doesn't do anything sitting with you. Does it work?
Yes.
And it works better when it's with the person speaking.
So Sudama has a mood of humility. How can we develop that mood of taking shelter of Krishna and understanding our position with regards to Krishna? So how can we develop that humility when chanting the holy names?
One thing is by a
objective assessment of who we are. That I think we tend to flatter ourselves, I'm this, I'm this, I'm this, I'm this. But if we look at it the other way, what are my real qualifications? Then, if we're fair about it, if we're honest about it, then we'll have to be humble. Who am I compared to Lord Brahma? Who am I compared to the advanced devotees in ISKCON? Who am I compared to some of my advanced godbrothers? To say nothing of my spiritual master. If we review our disqualifications, there's a sufficient stock. For that matter, whether whoever I am, I'm one of those prisoners, one of those rebels who's been obliged to come to the material world. So if we consider all these things, then that will help us. Also, sometimes the spiritual master helps us. The Chanakya Pandit says that one should chastise his son or disciple that's good for him. Srila Prabhupada was very merciful to his disciples. He was always saying, you're a fool, you're useless, what is the use of you? You'll be intelligent in 100 years. Snatching. So heavily that disciples were, you know, everybody thinks that, or often devotees think, Prabhupada was so kind. Prabhupada is so merciful. And they think that means always like a rose and like giving asherbads liberally and abundantly. It's so nice. And it's true that Prabhupada, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he could be gentle as a rose, and he could be strong like a thunderbolt. You're useless. Oh, fool, rascal, nonsense. These were all the flattering words Prabhupada used for his disciples. And he wouldn't stop. He'd be again and again and again, smashing, 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 smashing. It's good for us. Also, we should be, if we're unable to feel actually humble, or we feel some, yes, I should be humble, so we're officially humble, then my godbrother Gaura Govinda Maharaj used to say that we should cry to Krishna, please make me humble. Please engage me in your service. Please help me get free from my contaminations. It's not just, I do this, and this happens, and I do this, and that happens, and I do this, and I do this. He said, you should cry to Krishna. Please, 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 engage me in your service. Is that okay? How do we know when we're being sentimental and how to keep checking? We have to see our practical activity. Prabhupada said that Krishna consciousness is practical activity in the service of the Lord. Sentiment is good, we like sentiment, but sentiment on its own is useless. I've given the example, I've taken it from Prabhupada actually several times, that you come home from work and you say, so is dinner ready? And your wife says, I love you so much. That doesn't do the trick. If there's love, there should be practical activity. That's how we check. Am I following the orders of my spiritual master? Am I doing the things he told me to do? Am I avoiding the things he told me to avoid? It's practical. That's how you check. Make a checklist. What are the 10 offenses? Am I avoiding them? How many rounds am I chanting? Is the number that I vow to chant, or sometimes that number, sometimes another number? Am I engaging my energy in the service of Krishna, or am I engaging it in nonsense? Practical activity. That's how we check.
That leads to question number one at the bottom of the sheet.
Can you start with one, or we?
Yeah, you can start with one.
Out of 16 rounds, if we do one round with firm mind and rest 15 mechanical, is it okay? Well, it's more okay than chanting 16 mechanical rounds. All of our rounds with attention, with determination, with focus, with devotion. And we know that we fall short. Sometimes if we can chant one bead, one mantra with attention, we think we're doing pretty well. So it's practice. We certainly shouldn't think, well, that, first of all, what was that one round that we chanted with firm mind? I question even the one round. Someone has such a firm mind, but they chanted one round with real attention, and then the other 15 just kind of, I really don't believe it. If we really want to chant one round with firm determination, we'd better work on the 16 with the hope that one of them at least would be somewhat good. Like my brother Satsrup Marsh, who's one of our exemplars in chanting japa, keeps a little diary online of how his chanting is going. And at the end of usually he says, he'll talk about the struggles he went through and how he was a little attentive here, or how he was distracted there, or how he was really focused here, or how he was, you know, give the full account of what was going on, at least in summary. And at the end, he'll give his assessment that it was a pretty decent session, or I considered it good, or it was really below, it wasn't very good at all. He gives his assessment. But he's always aspiring that let me chant nicely. Because Prabhupada told us the most important engagement is to chant your 16 rounds nicely. Everything else flows from that. So we should try. So I think, yeah, the answer is obvious. Since grace is representative of Krishna, is it that we should follow rules of the spiritual master for the happiness of Krishna, or the intention to serve Krishna? Yes, it's important. There's not a difference between those two. Krishna gets happiness by your service. There's not a difference intention between making Krishna happy and serving Krishna. And following the rules of the spiritual masters, that the way is the way that the devotee makes Krishna happy. In the beginning, it may be following this rule, following that rule as a matter of obedience. And for the advanced disciple, it's understanding, what does the spiritual master most want of me? And trying to accomplish that. Not that I leave aside anything else that he told me, But how can I serve the desire of my spiritual master? How can I serve the mission of my spiritual master? Because that's what makes Krishna happy. Yasya prasada, otherwise. There's no difference between serving a spiritual master and serving Krishna, except that the service of the spiritual master is superior and more available. So we should always remember and serve the instructions of the bona fide spiritual master, and then Krishna will be pleased. Is it sometimes we are forced to ask for material
ask for material blessings? Blessings or something.
Sometimes.
Forced to ask for material things.
Material things. I thought things, but it's true with like a K. No, we're not forced to ask for material things. Even Sudama, who really was in material poverty, didn't ask. The of course, if you're going to ask for material things, ask Krishna rather than some rascal. But why ask for material things? Then you'll be sorry. The Dhruva Maharaj approached Krishna with that in mind, that there are four kinds of neophyte devotees who approach Krishna: in need of wealth, in distress, curious, and looking for knowledge. The Dhruva Maharaj was the looking for wealth. He was in the looking for wealth department. He wanted a kingdom equal to and still better than that of his father or his grandfather, Lord Brahma. And so Krishna was the only person who could give that to him. God was the only person. So by the advice of his mother, he went looking for God. And he finally got the darshan of Lord Narayan, and he was so overwhelmed by seeing the Lord, having gone through so much trouble, so much austerity to gain his darshan. He was so overwhelmed that he wasn't interested in getting any material thing. He lost interest. The Lord said, "What can I do for you?" "Nothing. I just want to serve you." And the Lord said, "That's all right, but I know that you wanted a kingdom. And so I grant you that you'll live in the kingdom here in this world. Dhruva Loka, I'll give you the pole star, and you can live there for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And you'll be young the whole time, and you'll have full strength and your full powers. And I give you this blessing." And then Dhruva Maharaj was, the Lord disappeared, and Dhruva Maharaj was meditating with great unhappiness. He was, as Sudama was leaving Krishna's association, thinking about his experience. So Dhruva was thinking about his experience and thinking, "I was such a fool. I got the association of Lord Narayan himself. I got the darshan of Lord Narayan himself. I went through so much trouble to worship the Lord. And for what? For a stupid kingdom in this material world where everything is perishable. I could have asked for pure devotional service, and instead I asked for a paltry kingdom. So I'm like a fool who approaches like a Birla or an Ambani or a Rockefeller and says, "Sir, please, could I have a handful of rice?" It's ridiculous. You went through all that trouble somehow, how to meet him, how to get through, past the security and past the this, and finally met him. "Sir, a handful of rice?" So Dhruva was regretting what a fool I was. And not only was a fool, but now I've got it and I'm stuck with it. I have to live in this material world for all these thousands of years to live out my this blessing instead of going back to Godhead. So better to follow Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Najanam, Najanam, Nasundari, Kavitam. Mama Janmani, I don't even want liberation. What's liberation? I just want to see it. And anyway, Nitya Yukta Vyuktanam Yoga Kshema Mahamyam. If I serve Krishna, he'll give me everything anyway. So I can just forget it. It's like when you get up in the morning, you don't think, this morning, today I'd better breathe. Because if I don't breathe, I can't live. So I better breathe today. Just because you got up, you'll automatically breathe. Breathing is not something you have to give a lot of attention to. It happens automatically. And Krishna said, Yoga Kshema Bahamyam, I automatically supply everything that my devotee needs. Then why should I separately bother for that? Or looked at from some other point of view, everyone gets what he's destined to get. Not a pinch more or a pinch less. And why should I waste my time trying to adjust my quota? I'm going to get the quota. If it's a high quota, I'll get the high stuff. If it's a low quota, I'll get the low stuff. If I'm Sudama Brahmana, I'll get, at least in the initial stage, poverty. And if I'm Indra, I'll get Indraloka. Everyone gets a certain quota of happiness, a certain quota of distress. So why should I bother Krishna? Please change my quota. Let me just accept it and do the real thing. Let me develop my love for Krishna. That's called pure devotional service.
Finish these questions, Mom.
Take these first?
Yeah.
Okay. How strict should one be in one's Krishna consciousness in household or life? Very strict. If it means that this is a question about the four regulative principles, one should follow them strictly. No intoxication, no meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling. That means sex is not for recreation, it's for having Krishna conscious children. Chanting 16 rounds is not a vow for the sannyasis and brahmacharis, it's for the grihasthas also. If we follow strictly, we'll get the result effectively. If we're lax, then you get more trouble actually. Like doctor's orders. If you follow the doctor's orders strictly, you quickly recover your health. If you say, well, you know, he told me not to eat this, and I really like that. And he told me two pills, but the pills are expensive. I'm going to take one. And he told me you have to take these antibiotics for a week, but 5 days is really quite enough. Then who's going to suffer? The spiritual master gives us instructions for our benefit, and we should follow them in any ashram, in the charya grihastha, anapanasati, or somewhere else. After the Lord ate pola, Rukmini stopped, but Lord, I need to go to his press. If you're doing something that time, nobody touches it. After Lord ate the poa, Rukmini Devi stopped the Lord but the Lord ate at other devotees' places, like the gurus, etc. And that time, nobody stopped the Lord from eating. Is there any reason? Well, Rukmini Devi wasn't there. In every pastime, the Lord shows some particular feature and gives some particular instruction, reciprocates with devotees in particular ways. So in this instance, Rukmini Devi was there and she participated in this way. And in other instances, the pastime takes place in a different direction. Here in Dhammadardesh from last 7 months. I came here for studies. I don't get enough time for spiritual life. And in India, I was doing deity worship. I'm very much attached with deity worship. How to develop again that love and feelings and emotion without deity worship. That is an option.
Come to Sindhi Hall regularly, attend the classes?
Yeah, I was coming to that. But the first thing is, these studies are ultimately useless. Your career is ultimately nonsense. If you're really attached to the deity worship, drop everything else and worship the deity. Go back to India, stay here, whatever it is. Be engaged in the worship of the deity. Because all of this other stuff is ultimately of no importance. That's one answer, which you're not going to accept. So now we come to the next answer. That you're here in the Dhammadardesh, so you can avail yourself of the opportunity to take advantage of the association of so many devotees and participate in whatever's going on here. There may be opportunities for deity worship. There may be opportunity for assisting others and your neighbors or friends in their worship of the deity. There are different ways that you can seek to fit that in, even with your busy studies. Another answer is that do something very, very simple. Worship the deity in some very, very simple way. Even if, you know, it doesn't have to be that the statue has to be there, even a picture, and worship with devotion. It's not that it has to be, you know, all the elaborate things and do an abhishekam and so many things. Krishna says, patram pushpam phalam tola. Even a small offering with love. If your student life only accommodates a very small little time, take that small little time and do something. Offer Krishna a little tulsi, you offer Krishna a little agarbati, you offer Krishna a little fruit, little water, with love. Yame bhaktya. Prayapati. And ashnami, Krishna said, I'll accept that. You don't, your life is so busy right now that you can't do as much, then do something a little. And you'll get some reciprocation. You keep that in mind, that this is, I look forward to doing this much every day. Even if it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, every day I get to do this. And it's like the high point of the day. It doesn't have to be with all paraphernalia. It doesn't depend on paraphernalia and a big altar. Just, I had one godbrother, wonderful godbrother, Bibhu Chaitanya Das, who was the cook for Krishna Balaram from day one in Vrindavan. He used to cook all the offerings for Krishna Balaram. And when he retired, they needed like 5 brahmacharis to replace him. He became arthritic, he couldn't do the service. Then he was sitting in the temple and he was offering charanamrita to all the devotees. Then he became too old, he couldn't do that service. Then he was sitting in his room or lying on his bed, and he would listen to the kirtan, listen to the classes, listen to Prabhupada. And he had little, in his room, he had a little picture of Krishna Balaram and Radha Shyam Sundar and Gornitai. And every day he was decorating that picture. Little flowers. Little simple worship. He'd been cooking so many huge offerings with so many things. And now, because his health only gave him that much, everything was worshiping him. My question is, how important is the role of a husband in devotional grihastha life? It's very hard to have devotional grihastha life without a husband. So it's very important. Wife also, very hard to have grihastha life without a wife. What major duties should both follow in service of deities? That's a big subject matter, and they can, of course, decide among themselves who's doing what and how they're, what they're doing, how they'll do it. But actually, the householder life is all about serving the deity. Either actual murti puja, serving the deity, the form of the Lord in their home, or everything should be done for the service of the Lord. The Lord is present as the deity, but service to the deity doesn't just mean puja. Service to the deity means everything we do should be for the satisfaction of Krishna. And that's the cooperative project of the husband and wife.
Yeah.
Does this question pass?
Yes. No, this is not a question. This is
okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
We're over time.
Maybe the last
question.
Thank you for the answer. Right, just wondering, like, how can we not get influenced by someone else's desire? Like, as we learn in Kashyap Muni and...
How can we not be influenced by someone else's desires? We should be influenced by someone else's desires. But that someone else should be Krishna in the spiritual mass.
Talking about the Kashyap Muni and the deities relation. Like,
yeah, because he wasn't sufficiently influenced by Krishna's desires. He was influenced by her desires. It wasn't just her. He was also a willing participant. There must have been some desire on his part. Otherwise he would have said, you know, you stupid woman, get out of here. Or something more polite but equally strong. You know, don't you know the philosophy? Don't you know what's going on here? But he had some desire also. So he was influenced. In other words, he was weak. Pretty adorable, yeah. Weakness of heart. So pretty adorable young Bhaktivinoda Pranam. Both husband and wife should be strong in Krishna consciousness. And we should be under the influence of both should be under the influence of Krishna and the spiritual master, then they'll have the maximum happiness in their family life.